As you probably know by now, the National Party has a new leader. National's caucus elected Todd Muller, the MP for Bay of Plenty, as its new leader early this afternoon. He replaces Simon Bridges, under whose leadership National support had recently fallen well behind Labour in opinion polls, down to about 30% of those surveyed, while support for Labour is well over 50% at the moment. National MPs also voted to install Nikki Kaye as deputy leader in place of Paula Bennett. This is a little of what Todd Muller had to say shortly after becoming leader.
We should all be proud of what we have achieved together. But regardless of these efforts, COVID-19 has hurt us. My absolute focus as the National Party leader will be New Zealand's economic recovery. We will save jobs. We will get the economy growing again, and we will do so by leveraging our country's great strengths, our people, our communities, our great natural resources, our values of hard work, tenacity, innovation, and aspiration. I know the size of the task is enormous, and I will bring my all to it. Yes, I have run businesses. I can read a balance sheet and a P&L, and I know a good one from a bad one. And I will bring those skills to the Prime Ministership. But that is not what drives me. What drives me is community. The people who help their elderly neighbours with the lawns on the weekend, the dad who does the food stall at the annual school fair, the mum who coaches a local touch rugby team. This election will be about the economy, but not the economy the bureaucracy talks about. It'll be the economy you live in, the economy in your community, your job, your Main Street, your tourism business, your marae, your local rugby league club, your local butcher, your netball courts, your farms, your shops, and your families. And this is the economy National MPs are grounded in, and the one that matters the most to New Zealand. For too long, this economy, your economy, and your life has been invisible to decision makers in Wellington, and this must change. And under my national government, it will change.
The new leader of the National Party, Todd Muller, later a philosophical Simon Bridges, also spoke to the media.
It's been a heck of a ride and a roller coaster, really, of highs and of lows. And I can tell you the highs have been very high and the lows have been very low. And March 15th, White Island, COVID-19, a certain former National MP who no longer is, who caused me a few troubles along the way, all of these things have been there. And these things, you know, obviously the national events, are felt differently for an opposition leader and the opposition than they are for the government, but they're felt nonetheless. And oftentimes, whether it's COVID-19 or March the 15th, there's a sense of wanting to help, but feeling powerless to do so, and wanting to react, and sometimes, dare I say it, overreacting. As I say, there's been some real highs, and amongst them, and there's been many, I want to count getting the back down on the capital gains tax, but forcing the Prime Minister not to impose a national regional fuel tax, through to quarantining at the border, funerals, an issue recently with COVID-19, and also just sharing great times with some tremendous colleagues in the National Caucus. While at times after crises we've been low, there's been other times where it's been my privilege to lead the most popularly supported party in New Zealand, as shown and seen polls and the like. I can't say I've enjoyed every minute of it, but I almost have. And it's been a blast. I've got absolutely no regrets. Most of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife, Natalie, and our three children, Emlyn, Harry and Jemima. Sometimes the gladiator in the arena doesn't feel the blows the way your spouse and family do. And I just want to acknowledge the toll that it has taken. I said to Natalie this morning, if I win, I win. If I lose, we win. And I'm really looking forward to spending more time being a better dad and a better husband to Natalie from later today.
Simon Bridges, the former leader of the National Party, speaking this afternoon. So where is National likely to go under the leadership of Todd Mallett and Nikki Kaye? On Checkpoint, Lisa Owen tried to get Mr. Mallett's measure with a few quick-fire questions. He wouldn't talk about whether he'd work with Winston Peters or New Zealand First, or whether National will again stand aside in Epsom to allow Axe David Seymour to keep the seat. But did it answer questions about dinner?
Spaghetti on pizza, yes or no?
No.
If you've got room for one dinner guest, Scott Morrison or Donald Trump?
Oh, Scott Morrison.
Legalise cannabis or not?
No.
Favourite native bird?
Tui.
The person you most admire?
My late grandfather.
What's your superpower?
Oh, I'm a pretty good cuddler of the kids.
And what's your nickname?
Nickname? Toddles. Toddy. Toddster. Anything with Todd with some sort of thing at the end. And I've had it since I was 5 and I'm 52 and I've said it on national radio, so I've kept it going.
And who was the first person you called after you got the job as leader?
Absolutely my mother.
The new leader of the National Party, Todd Mallett, speaking to Lisa Owen on Checkpoint. Joining me now is political commentator Ben Thomas. Kia ora, Ben. Welcome to Nights.
Kia ora.
Difference in direction between Nikki Kaye and Todd Mallett and Simon Bridges and Paula Bennett, or just new faces?
Well, National is a centre-right party. That's not going to change. But again, you know, National and Labour are both broad church parties. If you took all of their positions on all of the policies over the last 30 years and you plotted them on a chart, there would be considerable overlap at different times. And so, you know, it may, in these extraordinary times, I think, where, you know, we've seen a budget with $50 billion allocated, you know, unthinkable a year ago for a National or a Labour government. You know, it's hard to plot these things in terms of a different direction because, you know, everything's up in the air. We don't necessarily know which direction the government is going to take as the economic crisis worsens, and we certainly didn't know which direction the National Party would take in opposition. So pretty hard to tell, you know, what the counterfactual is, yeah.
I guess the geographical balance of power in the National Party leadership is about the same. We've got a deputy leader from Auckland, and we've got a leader from the Bay of Plenty.
Yeah, National likes these balancing acts, I suppose you could call it. You know, male, female, provincial, urban, North Island, South Island, which they haven't quite hit yet. Conservative, Todd Mallett, progressive, Nikki Kaye, representing, you know, the old conservatives and the old liberals, you know, who were the two strands that came together to form the National Party.
I guess as I watched Todd Mallett speak this afternoon, and I don't know a lot about the man, but he struck me, and this is a very superficial response, I'm showing my age here in one way, he struck me a little bit like Jack Marshall, who was the leader of the National Party in the early 70s, maybe also a bit like Jim Polger, a conservative. Well, he is a conservative with strong links to agribusiness.
Yeah, and in that clip that you played, another resonance with Jim Polger. You know, very much that kind of conservatism that's grounded in the community and in the local society, you know, in the rugby club, in the, you know, the shopping centre, as opposed to the sort of big business kind of conservative that, you know, we might be a bit more familiar with in recent times. It's interesting that you mentioned Bulger because, of course, Mallett worked for Bulger in the 1990s in Parliament. And, you know, what... As a former ministerial staffer myself, you do notice this pattern that I think your first political boss kind of imprints on you a bit, you know, sort of leaves a kind of mark in your DNA. And so, you know, that's probably the discernible kind of trace of Bulger. I mean, Bulger is not a bad role model for Todd Mallett to have. Bulger was never at 59% or 60% in the preferred prime minister ratings, you know, as Jacinda Ardern is right now. And Todd Muller is certainly not going to get to 60%. You know, Bulger was not one of these sort of charismatic Jacinda Ardern, John Key type figures, but he managed to, you know, hold together a government for about, you know, 7 years with a strong team. As you know, he was often called the great helmsman. And I think that that's certainly what Todd Muller will have to be looking at in the campaign here, rather than simply going head to head with Jacinda Ardern.
Do you think
popularity?
Do you think Ben Bridges also suffered from Simon Bridges from a lot of bad luck in terms of being an opposition leader when there are these massive events like the March 15 terror attacks of last year, maybe even the eruption of Fekati White Island, and certainly the global pandemic of COVID-19? It's very difficult for an opposition leader to kind of to hold up against that kind of, if a government's doing all right, to hold up against that.
Oh, of course. And if particularly if the government's response has been strong, as you know, Muller admitted that the Labor League government's response to COVID-19 has been in a public health sense. Yeah, there's that element of misfortune. The other element, where it's not so much bad luck, it's just how things play out, is that Bridges really was failing to connect with the electorate. It was getting to the stage where even very reasonable criticisms that Bridges was making of the government's response, you know, about PPE, about contact tracing, concerns that were being raised by unions, by frontline medical professionals, you know, were getting a vitriolic reaction from the public. And, whether it was his tone or his manner, he just couldn't get that cut through. So, you know, unlucky, unfair, but look, not everyone gets to be Prime Minister.
No. Todd Muller has a background in agribusiness, I think Fonterra, and also, I think, Zespri. And he was interesting, and he worked a little bit with, I don't know if he worked with James Shaw, but when James Shaw was bringing in to Parliament climate change legislation, Todd Muller was quite constructive in working with that to some degree. Is he a blue-green, as they call him? Is he a blue-green? Would you describe him as a blue-green, Todd Muller?
Look, my perspective is that blue-green was a bit of a branding exercise in the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s. Simon Bridges, I think, described himself as a blue-green and said that National would have more of an environmental focus under him as the leader. Now, we didn't see much evidence of that apart from its constructive work on the zero carbon bill, you know, which was mainly in the hands of actually Todd Muller. I don't think that we can make these distinctions anymore about blue greens or not blue greens. In New Zealand, we're lucky enough that, you know, the reality of anthropogenic climate change is recognised and the impacts potentially in the future are recognised. And so I think if you're a mainstream party like Labour is and like National is, you don't have a special faction for being, you know, kind of aware of climate change or aware of water quality issues. That has to be mainstreamed into your party.
National, under John Key and Bill English, one of its ways out of the global financial crash of 2008 in terms of spending money on infrastructure was to build lots more roads. And it seems to me under Simon Bridges, National still really has an inclination that the private car is the best solution. And you have any sign that Muller and National under Muller might start to move towards policies that are more difficult to make, but which lead New Zealand into less of a carbon dependent future?
Yeah, look, we'd have to see. I mean, it's probably too early for that policy work to have been done. I think in terms of that infrastructure spend, you know, building more roads, as we've seen with the government's fast-tracking of $12 billion worth of projects at the end of last year, a lot of those were revivals of roads that National had been planning and had either not gotten over the line or had been killed by Labor, depending on who you believe in the conflicting narratives. And now with the $3 billion spending that Shane Jones has been given in the budget to on these shovel-ready projects. A lot of that's going to be transport-focused as well. So, look, I think that people who are looking for, for New Zealand to throw off the shackles of the combustion engine in the near future aren't going to get much satisfaction from either of the major parties in this election.
What about the influence of Nikki Kaye? What difference will she make to National's leadership, do you think?
Now, look, Nikki Kaye is somebody that I've worked with in the past in the Beehive and in Parliament. I would say she's probably the hardest working MP in New Zealand. She, just a sort of legendary work ethic. Obviously, probably a bit more progressive than the average National Party member might be. But, if National is to have a hope of winning this election, somehow coming back from the brink, currently polling under less than half of Labour, according to TV1. But if they are coming, if they have any chance of getting back, they have to win back those, what we used to call the John Key women, generally, kind of centre-left, kind of socially progressive, really centre voters who would normally, who would have voted for Helen Clark the whole way through and then voted for John Key, and then when Bill English came on board, sort of went over to Jacinda Ardern. And, Nikki Kaye can appeal to that demographic. Remember, Nikki Kaye beat the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, twice in Auckland Central in two very close contests.
Yeah.
So, she's a ferocious campaigner, and I think that necessary balance out to, particularly urban Liberals who might otherwise get a bit spooked by the fact that Todd Muller is a bit more socially conservative than, say, your average Aucklander in a cafe.
As I think I look at the support at the moment for Labor and think, I wonder how strong that is. I mean, perhaps this period has been the easiest in terms of governing. It's been dealing with the first wave, hopefully the last wave, of the COVID-19 pandemic through New Zealand. We haven't really started to deal with the economic impact. We're talking about it, but it's not really maybe hitting the road for a lot of people yet, the reality of that. I wonder how strong that support is and whether there's a vulnerability about the support for the current government that this new Labour, National Opposition, might be able to tap into.
Yeah, look, and I think that's been foremost on the minds of opposition MPs. I don't think anybody realistically believes that Labour is going to get anywhere near 59% when it comes September. Not just because the initial euphoria of that public health response, which has been very successful, once that dissipates, once we're sort of back into the workaday grind and we're not watching Ashley Bloomfield and Jacinda Ardern every day in the afternoon, and we're back to the tiresome sort of tedium of everyday life, you would expect that to come back a little bit. And then, of course, the economic slowdown, which is, it trivialises it a little, I think, to just call it a political threat to Labour. It's actually going to be hugely damaging to New Zealand society. If we hit 10% unemployment, roughly, as Treasury's predicted for September, that effectively is almost a 10 times increase in our current rate of unemployment, because when you have about 3.5% unemployment, it's basically zero. It's basically full employment. So you're looking at a huge, huge increase in the sort of the social fallout of unemployment, and that will lead to a very different public mood. I think the issue that National had was Simon Bridges going to kind of handicap them from taking advantage of that to bounce back.
Did backbenchers vote for Muller over Bridges because they think Muller can win the election, or because they think they've got a better chance of still having jobs after the next election if Muller's the leader?
In a lot of cases, that's really the same question. I suppose if you used a rugby analogy, you'd say if you were just trying to not lose as badly, you'd play it tight, keep the ball close, and you just play to your natural base. But National has a very big base. There aren't any other parties jockeying for that centre-right vote apart from ACT, who are still only on 2%. It's not the same as the Greens and Labor, where it sort of sloshes around. There's about 40% that gets distributed between those parties, and it could be the Greens on 15 and Labor on 25, or Labor on 35, the Greens on 10, something like that. Instead, you know, these are people who have all gone over to Labor, you know, in response to the crisis, and perhaps in response to Nationals' handling. And so basically, you know, playing to win and playing to keep, you know, what you would think of as your base would actually be largely the same sort of tactics here. They've just got to reestablish themselves as a broad mainstream centre-right party with an emphasis on the centre.
Ben, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks.
That's the political commentator Ben Thomas, discussing the new leadership of the National Party. Todd Muller is the new leader, MP for Bay of Plenty, and Nikki Kaye is the deputy leader, MP for Auckland Central.